Mike talks Diamondbacks baseball. D-backs home run with Broomhead on KTAR News 92.3 and the KTAR News app.
All right. I think we should have opened this segment with Danger Zone from the movie Top Gun because, and maybe I shouldn't say that because that was about Navy pilots. Oh, you are dressed like a naval aviator.
It's supposed to be. Go ahead.
Okay. You're dressed like Pete Mitchell.
It's a long-running joke on our show that Wolf and myself have gotten too far into the danger zone that the Cardinals should draft Marvin Harrison Jr. This became, and so we started playing, our producer started playing Danger Zone on the show a lot, like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And her and I decided on draft day, I'll wear this because she had one. She went out and got it so I could wear it. And Wolf still hasn't seen me actually yet.
Aren't we a little worried that she knew where to get a Pete Maverick Mitchell flight suit?
Well, this is her dad's Halloween costume from 1 year.
Okay.
Yeah. She didn't like having it on speed dial.
Little concerned. So that makes a little bit of sense.
A little bit. That's as much sense as you're going to get out of me.
I didn't really say anything, but I saw you walking around and you're wearing a flight suit.
Yeah.
People turn on your cameras. Do we have cameras in the studio now?
Gotten some weird looks.
Luke Lipinski.
You want the sunglasses on too? I feel like I got to do the whole show like this now.
The name tag says Pete Mitchell.
Well, that's awesome. Authentic.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's get into this. Get into the draft.
Okay.
Are they going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. or are they going to trade down or maybe both and end up getting him?
I don't think they can trade down and still get him. I think they can trade down and get one of those top three receivers, whether it's him, Rome Odunze, or Malik Nabers. It's tough to tell, you know, with Monty Austin Ford. If he has Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers anywhere near Marvin Harrison Jr. on his draft board, I think they will trade down and find a way to still get that other guy. But, man, everything we hear from everybody is that not only is Marvin Harrison Jr. the best receiver prospect since, like, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, but that the Cardinals should just sprint to the podium when it's their turn to make the pick.
And that's the other part of it, because the Cardinals have more picks in this draft than any other team, so it's not as if they're not going to be able to fill needs.
Yeah.
So that's another deciding factor? It's not like you're limited on your picks in a way.
To me, and you're one of the few people I've heard bring it up to me, that's one of the biggest things is sometimes people will look and say it's irresponsible to take a receiver that high, but they desperately need a receiver and they have five other picks in the top 90 aside from this pick. And Marvin Harrison Jr., I know nobody's can't miss, but he's about as close to can't miss as you're going to get. And I mean, we all know who his dad was. He's a Hall of Fame receiver, too.
And to hear him speak, which I don't know, I guess people can have a public persona different than others. He is such a confident young man, but respectful. He seems to have every attitude you'd want in a young person. And we know with wide receivers, that isn't always the case with wide receivers. They're known to be a little out there sometimes.
Yes, not always a given that you're going to get that. You know, it's going to be interesting because his pre-draft process was a little bit different. His dad was kind of coaching him, you don't need to do this at the combine, you don't need to do that. And I understand how that might raise a red flag for some people, but you do have to remember his dad is a Hall of Famer at that exact position too. So,
and a great coach for him.
Yeah. And he's not going to get surprised by anything that the NFL lifestyle throws at him as a rookie because of who his dad is and because he grew up around the game. I mean, that is similar to Larry Fitzgerald. I don't like comparing anybody to Fitz that hasn't done it, but Fitz grew up around the NFL too.
Yeah, so let's, I know we're bouncing around, but I do want to go to the D-backs because this segment is supposed to be about the D-backs. But in the last couple of weeks, we got to talk about these other things.
Crazy, yeah.
I have to ask you just one question. The D-backs don't seem to be as efficient or playing as well without the mistakes as they did last season. So you've got a young team that seems 1 year's growth, 1 year maturity, and yet they seem to have taken a step back, at least early in the season, in mistakes and things on the field. Is that something to be concerned about, or is it a glitch? What is this?
I think Mike Hazen was on our show last week, and I thought he answered one of our questions pretty well. It wasn't quite this, but it applies. He was like, look, the injuries, we can't use them as an excuse. Every team has injuries. But in his position as a GM, he has to be aware of them as part of the reality. Alek Thomas is one of the best fielders in baseball. He's been out pretty much all year. They've had a lot of guys injured, but they are on pace for... They had 56 errors last year, which was one of the best in baseball history. They're on pace for like 128 right now.
Yeah.
So that's a significant difference. That's not one guy.
Right. So is this something that needs to be addressed by the coaching staff? Are they just being lazy with things? Or are they victims because of injuries and some people are playing where they're not used to playing or playing in ways they're not used to playing?
I think I think the injuries are the biggest part of it, but it's still you know, maybe it's them trying to meet these expectations. They didn't have those expectations last year, you know what I mean? So I think it's probably more than one thing, but the injuries would be at the top of the list.
All right. Are the Phoenix Suns getting bounced in round one?
Boy, it doesn't look good, does it?
It doesn't.
I would just love to see them fight back and win these games at home, make this a series, show everybody that fight that a lot of people, a lot of Suns fans have sort of questioned whether or not it's there this season. If they just bow out casually in like four or five games, that's a really bad look for a team where they spent a lot of money on this team.
And again, I'm such a casual fan, but to watch any team in the playoffs seem like their intensity drops off late in the game, that's the part of it to me is the playoffs are about intensity, fight until the very end. Some of the games we've already watched in this first round that have turned out with huge comebacks. Look at the Nuggets and things like that. Yeah. Look what Miami did and coming back and winning in Boston. That's the stuff you're looking for in a playoff series is we're going to fight tooth and nail. And I don't know that we've seen that kind of fight.
We haven't really seen that from them all season. We've seen where they have like a bad game and the next game they respond and maybe they rattle off three or four wins. We've seen that sort of resiliency, but just in game, it would be great to see them like down by 10 in the fourth and come back and win tomorrow because that characteristic just hasn't been there.
Is this an issue where, and everybody always blames the coach, but you have to ask the question, is this where maybe the coaching matchup didn't match with the team? Is Vogel in trouble?
If they go out in the first round and like quickly in like four or five games, I think he is because I don't know what else you can really change. I don't think it's necessarily his fault or, you know, any more his fault than anybody else's. I think it's the way you said it. Maybe it wasn't the best match.
Yeah.
He and his coaching staff made huge adjustments from game one to game two that worked. They just still didn't win.
Always appreciate it there, Maverick. I appreciate the time.
I appreciate you keeping a straight face while I'm dressed
like this. I love this. I love it very much. Thanks, Luke.
All right, thanks.
That's Luke Lipinski.